Lord, you speak and you guide us and you lead us, and we are following whatever you say, Lord. And I pray that you would speak again and again this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sure. Good morning. It is so good to just, have the privilege of just sharing the word this morning that we've kind of been feeling from the Lord. But I just want to say, like, for those of you who didn't put your hand up as visitors, in case you think you're completely invisible, most of us come here every week, which means that we know the other people that come here every week. And so we know you, we see you, who is your first time today, and welcome. It's really cool to have you here. If you did feel too intimidated to put your hand up, or I understand, I've been there too, I'm an introvert, I don't like that, but we see you, and welcome. It's great to have you. Just relax. I really do trust that if you walk away with anything this morning, is that you are seen. But it's not that you're seen by me, it's that you're seen by the Lord. And to even be in a place like this morning means that there's a part of you seeking something. And we serve a God who looks for those who seek after him. It's actually one of the promises that those who seek will find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. Is that cool? So welcome. It's cool to see you. If you're an undercover visitor, I get it. I'm your type of guy. I used to visit churches the same way. So I'm really excited to carry on from where I did last week. I gave my preach the cheekiest title ever, and I want to continue with that theme. I want to talk this morning about the greatest preach you've ever heard. Part two, subtitle, anxiety. Check that. So we didn't do so well with raising a hand if we're visiting, but it's okay. Everybody's arms are intact. Can I ask you this? If you've ever had a night of worry or anxiety in your life, where who's ever had one of those where you haven't been able to sleep, where there's been something on your mind, you've had a medical test coming, there's bills to, who can relate to that? Oh, it's okay, we can, it's cool, it's working. And so the reason why I want to talk about this is because this is something that is extremely important, and all of us live through it, experience it, encounter it, and grapple with it all the time. There is not anyone here who doesn't. If they say they don't, they're in the middle of it and they're lying. Be gracious towards them. But all of us at some stage or point, or even currently, have got battles of anxiety going on inside of us. You know, it's that turmoil, that feeling that there's no peace. There's sometimes you don't even know what's causing it, but it's there. And it often drives behavior and how we do. And this is such an important thing. Anxiety is such an important thing that Jesus spends a lot of time talking about it. And so I'd love us to hear what the greatest preach ever on anxiety would be. And it would come from the greatest teacher, Jesus, in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than those birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single moment to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't toil or spin, but yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, or AKA, their fit wasn't as fresh as his. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore don't be anxious, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So therefore don't be anxious about tomorrow, For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I read that in ESV, and what most of you would have realized is that I normally read in the NLT, because that sounded like old English, basically, compared to what we used to. But the reason is, I wanted to hone in on a word. I wanted to focus in on this word, anxiety, because it is a pandemic. It's everywhere. It's rife. It's in every situation. We deal with it all the time. It drives our behavior. It drives our thinking. It drives people to do terrible things. It's the cause of most major depression. It leads to physical ailments. People die because of long-term anxiety. Anxiety is a thief, and it wants to rob you. You see, the nature of anxiety is this. It wants to come into your home. And the best part is, it sneaks in. You don't know how. Have you ever had that feeling where you've got turmoil and anxiety inside of you, but you don't even know what it's from? You can't even pinpoint to what it is. You're just like, I've got this turmoil inside of me. Or maybe you do know what it is. Maybe, like some of the words today, maybe for some people you're running from some things. And that would definitely be a cause from anxiety. Running from God will produce anxiety. Having things chasing you will produce anxiety. If there's hidden things in your life that could be exposed and blow the lid off, that will definitely cause anxiety. But anxiety wants to come into your life and it wants to steal your joy. It is a thief. And it's not always deception. There is times where it's deceptive, but it's not always deception. Sometimes anxiety is rooted, it's actually a right response to what's going on. But the nature is, if you let the thief in your house, he will rob you blind. We've all wrestled with this and struggled with it. I want to re-emphasize that point, because there's not one of us that can sit here and think, oh, this is definitely for him. Because we've all been there, but the problem is we try and make friends with the thief while he's pillaging our house. Oh, no, trust me, you don't want that TV. That one turns on slowly. There's another one in the lounge. You want to take that one. When you have a little bit of worry about one area of your life, then all of a sudden it takes over the whole house. And you're just like, well, listen, if you're going to use that TV, the plug's broken. We want to get an extension cable. And then I'm going to unlock the garage for you. And while we're there, hey, there's a motorbike. Why don't you help yourself to the motorbike? And it's like when you let anxiety in, it will go from this one thing till eventually you left empty in a home. You've got nothing, but you just, all you have left is worry. You see, remember the context from last week about the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus is addressing Israel who are being oppressed. They have the worst time. Their government, just in case you're wondering if South African politics causes anxiety, imagine this for a government. You are walking, you're on your way to work, and a soldier pulls you over and he says, you're on your way to work. You have to be on work on time or your boss is going to fire you. Give you a written warning. And a government official says, hey, could you stop and just go and drop this off for me on the other side of town? And if you don't do it, you go to jail. And if you do it, your boss is going to be upset with you and probably are going to lose your job, because the reality is the government is taxing everybody to the point that they make it so that it's unpayable, and it gets so bad that when you can't pay it, you get put, the only way to pay it is to go to jail. And the reality is the Romans knew if they led people like this, they have no time to revolt and fight back, because we are naturally like cockroaches and we'll do what we can to survive, which is just obey and follow and do and carry on. And so Jesus is not talking, he's not writing about, we read it as like your clothes, and we're like, oh, I don't worry about my clothes. The reality is the essence of what he's talking about. Anxiety is consumed with what is or what if. What if this happens? It's rooted in what I have, what I don't have, or what I might get, or what I won't get. Do you know that for a lot of us, without even knowing, we make our life decisions based on this? We choose the job that we have because we're scared we might not get another offer. We choose where we live because we think somebody might try and kill me. Well, I'm from the East Rand. That was a reality for us. It's like a normal day. I'm still confused. I can move to Cape Town. People aren't trying to kill you. What's up here? Like, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if? And it drives our decisions. It drives the way we. Even the person you're in a relationship with, the person you married. What if I end up alone? And it motivates the way. And so anxiety is not just that little feeling that you get in your tummy. It's a big problem. We all have a battle with this thing. And Jesus is wanting to really get in and address. Because it's, if you allow it, it will rob you blind of everything that you love. All the joy that you have. It's incredible. You can be anxious. You can be married. And the first thing is you can be single and be anxious to get married. And then when you're married, you get anxiety because you're married. Then as a married person, you get anxious about having children. And then when you get children, you're anxious that you lose your children. Then you get anxious that you're not going to lose your children. It's like this full circle. You go from, I really want them to, will they ever go? Will I ever get rid of them? Is this, I didn't say till death do me part to these little dudes, like... And then you become anxious about who they'll marry and what will happen in their life. And so it's just, you can go through this whole life doing everything, living according to anxiety. It is a massive, massive problem. And the nature is it wants to rob you blind. We stress about, great job, started my timer. We stress about the basics. What I'll eat, what I'll wear. It's not just the basics. It's when it says food or clothes, that scripture's implying your survival. We worry about our survival above all else. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The first way that I can make sure that everybody needs the same thing is if you put a plastic packet over their head. You all need the same thing at the exact same time. Air. And then after that, you have all these needs that fall down. And anxiety drives every reaction towards what we have with these needs all the time. It's wild because when you have no money or you don't have, let's say, a pension waiting for you at the end of your life, you're so anxious about what will happen to me then. But the reality is if you have it, all you worry about is what is going to happen to it. And so you find no peace in wanting it and you find no peace in having it. Anxiety can be rooted in ourselves. It's the what ifs. It's what if I fail? What if I get this wrong? What if I make a mistake? What if they find out who I really am? What if the deepest, darkest parts of me people will know? You see, anxiety assumes self-sufficiency and it ignores God's sovereignty. Anxiety puts you in the driver's seat of your life. It says, hey, this is your life. You are fully responsible for everything. It's all up to you. It all depends on you. If you make a mistake, it's on you. You better be careful. Anything you do, this is all about you and your dependency and how you do, and it's all about you and control. Make sure you can control, because if you can't control, then what if that happens to you? Or what if this happens? Or what if you lose this? And so anxiety is rife when it's all about you and you having the steering wheel. I'm blessed in that I haven't had much medical drama in my life. Like, I go to the dentist once every 15 years. I go to a doctor seldom. I go to a chiropractor a lot, but I go to a doctor seldom. I didn't grow up with any health concerns, any. I was attacked by a dog. That's like the worst. I never got sick or I never had any of those things happen to me. And so I never worried about health. Like, we grew up a little bit, my parents sold everything to plant a church. And so we didn't have anything, and it meant we had government hospitals. So when you have to rely on government hospitals, you tend to pray a lot. And you don't just go to a doctor for everything, you pray about everything. And so, like, that was my upbringing. So health wasn't a big deal for me. Until I got married. And then my wife fell pregnant for the first time. I had never lost a night around worrying about health. Until I knew that there was a baby growing in my wife. And I, that little one in the front row. And I, all of a sudden, developed the most irrational anxiety, and I could do nothing about it. And I feared, and I feared, and I feared. And pregnancy is supposed to be a time that you get excited towards your child coming. I didn't. As it got closer, I got more and more fearful. I worried about more and more going wrong because the thing that I wanted, I was finally possibly going to get, but I could not just get it, I could lose it. And that worry started to go eventually at around 20 weeks. Sam, we had missed one or two scans, and the way that it works is that then they flag you and they say, hey, listen, you haven't got a certain score. We need to go for extra scans. And so we went for scans, and we came back and they said, listen, we don't know what it is, but there's shadows on the scans of her brain. We think, and so they naturally jump to the conclusions of, like, it could be cysts on the brain. And I could do nothing except fear and anxiety and starting to plan my life around how am I going to live. And look at her, she is very special, but not that special. But this thing became my reality. I worried about this. It was always in my mind. And the reality was, it's because I assumed the driving position in my circumstance. I assumed that it's up to me. This is my responsibility. This is what I have to do. I have to look after myself. This is, again, I'm from the East End. If you don't look after you, nobody else will. I've got to do this. I've got to protect my life, my stuff, my things. That way of living always leads to anxiety. Doesn't matter how little you have. Doesn't matter how much you have. When you rely on yourself, you will battle anxiety. I have to fix this. I have to figure this out. I have to control this. This is out of my control. Those are the feelings that produce stuff inside of us. And you know what the absolute biggest problem with anxiety is? It's powerless and pointless. It has no ability to change anything. In Matthew 6, verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? You might worry for days or weeks or months or years, it will do nothing for you. You can have all the anxiety in the world about all the situations. It will do nothing for you, but it will take everything. I don't want to be around people today. I'm feeling anxious. It puts me out of sorts. It means I don't want to be around. It causes me to separate myself, to numb myself. The world has a coping mechanism for anxiety. It's called numbness. And so, I'm not a doctor, but I did a lot of reading and I've asked a lot of people. And so the main way professionally that they will deal with anxiety is to numb. Because it's the only thing that you can do for it, because it's actually powerless. So what they'll do is they'll prescribe, and if you battle with anxiety and have to take medication, I'm not telling you to stop. I'm telling you that's why they give it to you, because the anxiety is driving the behavior, and the behavior could hurt you. And so they need to numb the anxiety. So you'll get given medication that will numb your anxiety. But the downside is when you do take medicine to numb anxiety, you numb yourself as a person in every area. It numbs every part. The other way that sometimes people do it is you numb it with pleasure and things and hobbies and friendships and adrenaline and spikes and hobbies, but they're empty. But you just try and consume them to keep this thing afloat, but it does nothing in the long term. So you find yourself often in addictive behavior. Even most heavy anti-anxiety medication, I'm not talking about like the little herbal one you get on the side. I'm talking about the strong anti-anxiety medication for panic attacks. They even tell it to you, I'm going to give you this, but it's highly addictive. It could lead to a whole nother problem if you rely on it, because it's in itself, it's a problem. And so you can either get medically numbed, or we can just numb ourselves with everything else that we have. You throw yourself at everything and you bed down and you cover it up for a while, but this thing will always pop its head every now and then. I heard of a really good friend of mine. He's in another congregation, and his brother came to him. Man, he's the coolest oak you've ever met. Surfboard shaper. He's just the coolest oak you've ever met. It looks like he has the ultimate life. If you look at his Instagram, you think, this oak's got it together. He's got an epic laugh. Found his brother. He's like, I'm falling apart. Falling apart. Something's wrong inside of me. I need help. You can numb it and put all the things you want in the hole. It does nothing. Verse 26, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store up food or barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? You see, the illustration from creation is that they don't get behind the driver's seat. For them, somebody else is in charge. It's somebody else's responsibility. And so what this scripture is leaning in towards is the fact that anxiety does have an antidote. It's not about who you are and what you have and what you can do. It's rooted in who he is. Anxiety is not only... And we'll get there. I'm going to get to the good part, I promise. If it's going downhill and you're feeling really anxious, I'm sorry. It's a preaching technique. It's called lead to the ache. It means get you to feel and identify the feeling, and then we can prescribe the solution. So if you're feeling anxious, I'm sorry. Hope is coming. But anxiety is a waste, and it doesn't solve problems. It makes things worse. The worst is it's... The Bible would define it as it's pagan thinking. It's godless thinking. When your provision is your responsibility, I know in our day and age that sounds so true. Of course it is. I'm the head of the home. It's my job. I've got to make this happen. I've got to be the guy. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to make it work. That bravado is great. We will talk in a while. That shell always comes crumbling down. Always. As long as you rely on you, it falls apart. And the last worst part about anxiety before we start to climb, it just borrows trouble. It just takes trouble that's tomorrow and it brings it today. And then you get to tomorrow and it brings next week's trouble into today. And it's most of the time those things don't even come to fruition. And that still doesn't even change the way that we feel about it, because what if? But what if? But what if? And so anxiety just borrows trouble. But there's a solution. And Jesus doesn't just say, don't be anxious, stop. It's not a willpower mechanism. It's not like, okay, cool, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to stop being anxious. If I left you with that, please never come back here. Because all that will do is produce even more anxiety. My heart is that you would be set free in this thing. My heart is to show you that there is a way, but there is actually only one way. And the antidote to anxiety is faith. And without faith, you can't live anxious-free. And that creates a difficult problem for us, because we want to fix it ourselves. And faith means, I'm not the solution to all my problems. He is. I'm not the solution to everything that's going wrong. He is. No, that's a bit spiritual. I mean, my work problems are my problems. No, they're not. They're his. If you're his child, your work problems are his problems. Oh, no, but it's physical health, you know. I'm not one of those. No, if you're his child, your physical health is his problem. You don't have to worry because of who he is. It's the one that we look to that we can actually get rid of anxiety. It is impossible to live without anxiety as long as you are the captain of the ship. But faith and ridding yourself of this, it comes through one way, and it's letting go of control. It's called surrender. Lord, I want to give this to you. I'm going to stop trying to determine everything, and I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to ask you. It takes faith, not positive thinking, not meditation. And this is not just a one little vaccination fix it all. This is an ongoing day by day thing that we live out. That when I'm faced with anxiety, I go, Lord, everything inside of me wants to be anxious, but I want to surrender. I'm yours. I belong to you. If I need to make a work decision, I can come to you and I can say, Lord, help me. If I don't have money to pay bills, I can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have one choice. I can worry about it and do nothing, or I can pray and bring it to you and say, help me. I can lie in bed and get lost in my mind and my thoughts and worry about all the things that could happen to me. Or I could say, Lord, my life is yours. I surrender it to you. Whatever happens, it's yours. Why? Because Matthew 6 verse 30, if he cares so wonderfully for the flowers, I mean, come on. The flowers are cool. I've lived in Cape Town. I've never driven to see the flowers. Do you know why? They're just flowers to me. Like, I have daughters, so maybe we should do that, babe. I don't know. But, like, I get it. I mean, some people drive all over and it's cool and the flowers are beautiful and the colors are so cool. But if he cares for the flowers, how much more valuable are you? You can have faith in him to care for you because of how much he loves you. Because of the type of father that he is. Because of the type of Lord that he is. That if he cares about the birds, animals, little rats with wings, how much more you? You matter infinitely more to him than anything else that is created on this earth. Infinitely more. He loves you. He wants to provide for you and care for you and walk with you and be with you. He wants to remove anxiety from you. And I say this today, but I promise you, I actually didn't sleep much last night. I was dealing with anxiety. It's hilarious. I'm like, this is so ironic, Lord. Like, I'm just worrying about how this is going to affect those people and those people and those people and those people. Lord, I can't. I can't do anything about that. I've just got to surrender to you. They're your children. And so when I'm anxious, I can pray and I can have faith that he is the right person to be dealing with the situation. That, I know this sounds like, I promise you, if you feel like that, if you feel like you don't understand, I've tried everything, I'm telling you, that's why none of it worked. This is not just over in a moment. This is an ongoing thing that we live through every single day, where we always have to bring our anxiety before him. We always have to come before him and say, Lord, it's this thing, it's this thing, it's this thing. I surrender. I'm sorry for trying to drive. I'm sorry for trying to be the one who's going to carry it all. It's not going to work. It's you. I look to you. It's faith. It's the only way. One Peter 5 verse 7, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares about you. Nobody else loves you enough to fix your biggest problem, which is the fact that you need a Savior. It's the fact that you can't, you have sin in your life. You have hidden parts of your life that are so evil. All of us. Me. And I can't fix those things. I can't cover over those things. And those things require judgment. And at the end of my life, and your life, and everyone's life, all sin, we will all be judged. And our biggest need is the fact that on that day, I need to stand there and not be the one that said, well, it's all on me because I did it all myself. When I get there at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I tried my best and I totally messed up, but I'm with him. And he didn't mess up. His name is Jesus and he was perfect. And he lived with no anxiety. And he took the sin and the shame that all of my sin and shame deserves, he took it with him to the cross. And he paid for it in full. And so he's the driver of my car. I'm with that guy. But if you are in charge of your own life and you're coming, there is a reason to be anxious. That's why it's there. You cannot solve all your problems. You cannot lead yourself into the life that the Lord wants for you. Do you know that he wants to give you life and life in abundance? Do you know that it's possible to live free of anxiety? It's possible to have your life falling to pieces circumstantially, but have a peace inside of you that you're okay. It's falling apart, but I'm okay. I know people. Right now, I have a friend, stage 4 cancer. They tell him 10% chance of surviving 5 years. Go and have a conversation with him. He's full of faith. He leads one of our congregations. Everybody else is like, hey, stop doing what you're doing. Preserve what you have left. He's like, it's not mine in the first place. It's his. What's the worst? That I die? Well, if I die, I have no more reason. Do you know what I'm stoked about? I am an anxious soul, which is why I'm preaching like this. But when I go to be with him on that day, it's over. No more worry. No more tears. No more what if. No more worrying. Safe with Jesus. How do I do it? How do I have faith? Then we're going to land. Matthew 6, verse 33. What does it look like to live a surrendered life full of faith? What does it look like? Okay, you said there's a life and it looks like something without anxiety. What does it look like? And this is exactly what he says after the portion. But seek the kingdom of God. So there is something you can do. Seek. We spoke about seeking when you arrived this morning, that there are those of us just seeking. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That scripture is written in the context of anxiety. He will give you everything you need. He's not talking about your new Lambo. He's talking about your bigger problem. It's your biggest problem is not that you can't afford the fuel on a Ferrari. Your biggest problem is the fact that you need a savior. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, which means I want you to rule and reign over every part of my life, and I want to follow you. That's how we produce righteousness. It's what Jesus has done for us, but I want to follow you. And as I follow you and as I give my life towards you, you will take care of everything else. I've seen it time and time again. To serve God requires faith. Faith isn't passive, it's active. Anxiety hoards and frets. It stores up everything. What if I don't have? What if I run out? What if I lose it? What if the Bitcoin changes? What if the rand tanks? What if the property market sinks? What if the business retrenches? Just hoard. Keep it all here. Keep it all together. No. Faith releases and receives. To live with faith, it requires faith to be generous. Because guys, you could run out of money. Your pension probably isn't big enough. So everyone's like, oh, drop back to that feeling. We were doing so well and now we're there again. It's probably not. There probably will be another housing collapse. There probably will be another economic crisis in our lifetime. I'm not trying to be a prophet, just reciting history. Based on the amount of time that you've got left to live and based on what's happened in the last 60 years, you're going to face some weird things. Nobody ever told me I would live through a global pandemic. Locked up in a house for weeks. You see that coming? You're going to face some stuff. We're all going to face some stuff. And if you look to hoard it, you will lose it. That's what he says. If you try and store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, the car, the house, the pension, the bank balance, I've watched a man do so well and build an empire of a business, an empire, a mining empire. And give his whole life. And all it was to leave it behind for his children. And I've watched his children squander it in a fraction of the time that it took him to build it. If you have it all and you leave it, you're not even guaranteed that they will still have it. You see, when we have faith over anxiety, we pray differently. Not, Lord, what if this? Could you help me with that? Could you help me with this? Could you fix that? Could you fix that? Could you fix that? No. We come and we say, Lord, would your kingdom come? Lord, I surrender. It's yours. It's yours. If you're a business person, you should be praying over your business. Lord, this is your company. These are your margins. These are your employees. These are your people. How do you want me to navigate this? What do you want me to do? There is a way to do this, and it's with faith in every area of faith. Work for your boss with faith. Be in your marriage with faith. Raise your children with faith. Serve the Lord with faith. Do everything with faith. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anxiety is a very, very normal response if you don't know our Father. And so what I do want to make clear is that the last thing I'm doing today is judging you for having anxiety. I'm definitely not doing that. I would say I'm in the boat with you at times. I do my best to not. But the same as Peter in the boat, he was in the middle of the storm and Jesus comes out to him. And as long as he looked at Jesus with faith, he walked on water. As soon as he focused on the drama around him, he sunk. I wonder if we can stand together. There was a word that came this morning talking about like Noah running from God. Jonah, not Noah. Noah didn't run from God. Thank you, Dix. Like Jonah running from the Lord. And we even sang that song, like, I've been captivated. What I want to tell you this morning is that running from the Lord will only produce anxiety in your life. The only solution is to run towards the Lord. I wonder if we can bow our heads. I really want to pray for all of us. Like, it's not going to, I don't want to target individuals, but I do want to start with this and just say, man, if you are riddled with anxiety and if you don't serve the Lord, I do want to say that your anxiety makes sense. Because the most important thing for you isn't secured, which is that at the end of this life, you would go to be with Him and you would have eternal life. And so I do want to ask, and I want to give that invite this morning, that if you've never given your life to Jesus, or actually when I say given, I mean surrendered. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, I'd love to make an opportunity there. Or maybe at some point in your life you did surrender. Maybe you were a Christian at some point of your life, or you considered yourself as someone who followed Him. But you've taken back the steering wheel. You've gone back to, I'm in charge, I'm the captain of the ship, I'm driving, but the anxiety is there. The worry and the concern, what happens after tomorrow? What happens when you die? What does that question leave you with? If you're afraid of the answer, I'm talking to you this morning. And so I'd love to ask this morning that there is a simple solution, and it's faith, and it's in Jesus as our Savior. And so while every head is bowed, if that's you this morning and you want to surrender your life, maybe you've never done it or you've done it once before in the past and you want to recommit your life, if that's you, with every head bowed, could you raise your hand? I'd love to just pray with you where you are this morning. I see those hands. I see your hand. Just, can you leave it up? Because I just want someone to put their hand on your shoulder. They're not going to intrude on you. They're just going to put their hand on their shoulder and pray with you. If you see someone around you, I wonder if, yeah, thanks, Nozzy. If you guys can put your, please don't miss this opportunity this morning. I see those two ladies. That's incredible. Is there anyone else this morning? This thing will, it's the worst. It's the pits. It's the worst of the worst. We don't have to live like this. I'd love to pray with those. And so maybe you guys can repeat after me. Jesus, I give you the wheel. I need you. I need you to save me. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? I surrender my life to you. I will follow you. So Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit you would come right now. Lord, and you would not just, that it's not just an utterance, it's not just something we say that makes us saved, but it's a heart that goes with this. I pray, Lord, that in these moments, right now, Father, where this is just at the moment coming from desire and battling within, I pray, Lord, that you would see that desire and you would extend your faith and your grace and your kindness. Lord, I thank you that you are gracious and kind to us, that when we come to you in your repentance, you forgive us time and time and time and time again. It's your love that covers over our sin. And I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And for the rest of us this morning, I felt like in this battle with anxiety, like the Lord wanted to reestablish the ground rules for you again. It's almost like, man, we've been trying to do this all different ways. But this morning he's saying, it's simple, my child. I want you to see who I am, and I want you to have faith in who I am. And I want you to yield, and then I want to come in and I want to remove your anxiety. But for some of us, I think it's like, man, like at the end, Jesus says, oh, but you have little faith. And I think for some of us, it's like, man, there's at times I need help in my faith with this thing. And so maybe that is you. Maybe we can just raise our hands where we are. If you've battled with this thing at all or facing it at all, any type of anxiety, any type of like, God, I'm wrestling through this. I need you to come and help me. Just where you are, just raise your hands in front of you. I want to pray with us. Lord, I thank you that we can ask you for faith. Your disciples said, would you help us? And so, Lord Jesus, I want to pray that for everyone with raised hands this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would come and meet with them. Lord, I pray that maybe we've tried everything else. Maybe we've exhausted every other option. I'm just tired and weary of running and fighting and facing the same thing over and over. Lord, I pray that today, in the name of Jesus, this thing would change, that it would never be the same again. And Lord, I pray that what would help us to overcome is that we would see you, a loving Father who cares so much for his children, that our burdens aren't our own burdens, that our problems aren't our own problems, but that as your children, you want to come and you want to carry our burdens. You want to carry our load and help us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see you rightly, because when we see you rightly, we can follow you. Thank you, Jesus. So just as you deal business in your own word with the Lord, we want to just respond almost in a song, just to put words to what we're feeling. But I want to encourage you to respond in your heart to the Lord. You can't hear this and think it would change. The change has to come from within you. That, Lord, despite everything, I will look to you. I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus.